As we bless the offering, gracious God, we pray your outpouring of your Holy Spirit to bless not only these gifts, but these givers, that we would receive so much more in return, to be able to partner with you in transformation of the world. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. What an awesome privilege it is to come up and preach after a worship like that, a worship experience like that. That's simply beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, 1105 team. As Dave mentioned earlier, this is the first, thank you. You guys must know me well. We are in the first Sunday of Lent, and we're also finishing up the last of our sermon series on the Daniel plan. And our passage today comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And before we get to reading the scripture, I would just invite you to take on a posture of prayer as I invite the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be abundant in this place and pour out on us gathered here to open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to the whisper of your voice, to the message that has been prepared. And we pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you. Amen. From Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, as we wrap up our Daniel plan, I wanted to focus, I gave it away already. I wanted today to be, today's topic to be focus. That looks better. That looks more in focus back here than it does in back there. So, I don't know. That may be a. So anyway, focus. And here's the kind of focus I'm talking about. I think it's a pretty good example of focus. Thursday night we have our children's program called Logos here, and we begin the evening with dinner and prayer and have a wonderful meal, and at the end of the meal, there's dessert. Now, in preparation for this message this week, I was thinking about what a great example this might be, and I was thinking, I had no clue as to what the dessert was for our meal Thursday night, but I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if it was Oreos? And wouldn't you know it? Thursday night's dessert was Oreos. So I took that as an affirmation from God that was the right illustration to use. And so as they brought out the dessert, each child got two Oreos. And I got to be honest with you, I never really knew how many different ways there were to eat Oreos. That's truly amazing. Most of them would twist them apart and lick, stick them back together, and pop them in your mouth. Do we have any of those in here? It's okay to raise your hand. Okay, good. Some would take it apart, eat the one without the cream, lick the cream off, and then eat the the other one. Any of those in here? Okay. Now, everybody's different, and we actually have a set of twins that attend our children's program Thursday night. And they're identical twins. And you'd think they'd be able to eat the Oreo cookie identically the same. Uh-uh. One was nice and tidy, would take little bites and savor each moment. The other one, two bites, and it was done. Can I get an amen? And it just surprised me, you know, how focused these kids were in the way they ate their Oreos. Now, one adult, and I won't name him Pastor Matt, took the whole Oreo and just stuck the whole thing in his mouth. Well, yet another way to be focused on that great taste of an Oreo. And then there was one boy that just tickled me pink. He would take a bite and then take a sip of milk, and you could see him chewing, and then after a few seconds of chewing, he'd go, and then swallow. I said, "Dear Lord, what are you doing?" He said, "Pastor, I'm making an Oreo milkshake." I said, "Amen." That's the kind of focus we want to talk about today, focusing on our brain power, the kind of focus that Jacob had with wrestling with an angel all night long, refusing to give in until he received a blessing from God. Of course, he had to walk away with a limp for the rest of his life, but that's focus. The same kind of focus Samson had when he would fight and win against all of his enemies when he wasn't being distracted by Delilah. Focus. That's what we want to talk about today. Now, I got to warn you, there are some warning signs. Oh boy, you didn't see that. There are some warning signs around that might clue us in that we have some work to do on our brains. And number one is a poor memory. They say that if your memory is not the same as it was 10 years ago, you may have a problem. Anybody remember what they had for lunch yesterday? Poor memory. It is a warning sign that we need to work on our brain. Number two, I got to look at my notes here. Here we go. Number two, poor judgment and impulsiveness. Now, scientists have actually researched this, and there is good cause for this. And I see a few teenagers in the room, so this doesn't give you a pass. All right, I'm just saying. You got to take this with a grain of salt, and parents, pay attention here. So, when I was a teenage boy, I got caught doing something rather dumb, rather silly, and when asked why I did that, anybody know what my response was? I don't know. Yeah, you guys, some of us have said it before, right? So here's where the scientific research comes into play. Scientists have discovered that because the adolescent brain isn't fully developed, that there is actual cause and truth in the fact that teenage boys, in particular, when they are caught and asked, why did they do that, and they say, I don't know, it's because they don't know, because their brain hasn't fully developed yet. I don't know if mine's fully developed yet there, but I'm getting there, okay? So again, that isn't a pass for the teenagers in the room, but there is scientific research to prove and support your response, and I don't know. Some other warning signs are short attention span, distractibility, depression, being overweight, having low energy, and chronic insomnia or sleep apnea. Now that we've talked about some of the warning signs, we want to talk about some of the strategies that can help us prevent the warning signs or counteract them. And I want to revert back to our scripture that I read where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Step number one, most important, is to pray on a regular basis. Pray on a regular basis. And I want to talk about praying on a regular basis and how that was modeled for us in and through Scripture. Jesus, if you remember the Gospels, would have a tendency of breaking off away from the crowds and going and praying to renew his mind and renew his strength and renew his power from God, right? The best witness to that was on the night he was betrayed, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was on his hands and knees on a rock praying so intensely that he was sweating drops of blood, praying for the strength and the mind to carry him through what was to come. Another scriptural reference is Solomon. King Solomon, one of the wisest kings of all time, of all Israel, relied on prayer. He was given the charge to build a temple for God by his father, David. And so he had collected all the material and organized a group to build it. And then right before they dedicated it, he decided to pray over the temple. Now, you can find his prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And it's a really lengthy prayer. And I won't read it all. I'll save you from that. You can read it on your own. But I do want to read the opening, because I think it's important to recognize the posture he took in his prayer. It reads, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set in it the court. And he stood on it. And then he knelt on his knees in the presence of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, 'O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. Keep covenant and steadfast love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart.'" Imagine a king before a nation taking on the posture of humility, getting on his knees and opening up his arms and praying for the dedication of the temple, praying for the blessing of his people, and praying just for the love of God. I think that's important because in our prayer time, we might be wise in taking that advice or taking that model that has been given to us both by Jesus and King Solomon in the posture of prayer, humbling ourselves and getting on our knees. I wonder if we have the courage to do that. The second thing that we can do to renew our mind is to learn to delegate. Now, we were talking about Solomon. Now, the king had this charge to build this amazing temple, and he didn't micromanage. He gathered the leaders, and he elected them. He cast the vision, and he said, "Go and do." That's why I love being in ministry. I believe my ministry is not a ministry of maintenance, but a ministry to call and equip and empower people to go and do ministry. Jesus is another great example. He had 12 disciples, and he equipped and empowered them, and he actually said, "You are going to go and do greater things than I. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit." Learning to delegate can relieve some of our stress. Pastor Dave shared in staff last week an article that he had read about successful people and how successful people know how to say yes, but the most successful people, like Steve Jobs, knows how to say no. They don't have to take on every little thing. They don't have to micromanage. They know how to delegate. So keep that in mind as you are working towards the goal of renewing your mind and the transformation of your body, learning to delegate. Number three, listening to soothing music. Now, I got to be honest, we are not going to have the same taste in music that soothes our soul. For Matt, it's hip-hop. For me, it's not, right? For you, it might be country western. It might be hymns. It might be the music we sing up here. Whatever it is that calms you, that's the music you have to go with. I know when before I came to Christ, my wife gave me a Third Day CD. They're a Christian rock group. And it was music that I could relate to. And within a few weeks, I was singing along, and I knew all the words. And 6 months later, I found out that most of those words I was singing came from the Bible. A renewing of my mind. I wasn't putting junk like AC/DC Highway to Hell or something like that in my mind. I was putting something uplifting, something from the Word of God into my mind. So find some music that is soothing to you, and you'll be surprised at how that can help renewing of your mind. Number four, consider calming scents. Calming scents. Scents, like what you smell, right? So during the Hope Grows Here campaign, we had a 40-day devotional, and I got the privilege of writing one of the devotionals in that book. And the point I was trying to make was about my experience as a Kids Hope mentor. I had walked into the elementary school, and I was met by the aroma emanating from the cafeteria. And it was a good aroma, by the way. Not always, but on that day it was. And they were making grilled cheese and tomato soup. And as I smelled that, it triggered something in my memory that took me all the way back to my elementary school experience. And I could remember sitting around the table with my friends. I could even picture their faces. I could remember what it was like to take that golden crust and dive bomb it into the tomato soup and then take a bite and have that wonderful mixture of flavor explode in my mouth. It was an amazing experience, and research has shown that the smell or the sense of smell is the strongest trigger for triggering memories. Have you ever had that experience where you smelled something and it just took you right back? Isn't that amazing? Finding a scent that will calm you can help in renewing your mind and transforming your body. Number five, taking a calming supplement. And it's amazing, after I shared this sermon, how many people out in the atrium after the service gave me a little tidbit to add to what I'm currently taking. I won't tell you what it is because I was rather surprised. But like five people all said the same thing. If you want to know, you'll see me afterwards. But as Dave, I don't know if Dave mentioned it in this service, but I've been appointed to Willoughby United Methodist Church starting July 1st. And so with that appointment comes a lot of anxiety. And some of that anxiety is wanting to finish well here, and the other part of that anxiety is wanting to start well there, right? And so I can remember the week before we made the announcement here, I had to keep that secret. I couldn't share it with anybody. And I was losing sleep, and I remember telling Dave, I says, man, I wonder when I'll get back to my normal routine of sleep. And he kind of chuckled. He says, yeah, in about a year and a half. I don't know if you can tell, but I need my sleep. I don't function well if I don't get the proper amount of sleep, and I'm assuming that's the case for you. And so what my wife has been doing for me is she's been making me some chamomile tea about an hour before we go to bed. And it helps me relax, and it helps soothe my mind, and it lowers my anxiety so that when I do go to bed, I can fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. So whatever works for you, whether it's chamomile tea or something else, do it in moderation to allow yourself and your mind to be calmed so that you can get the proper amount of sleep that you need, because it's so important, as the book says, that we really do need our sleep to renew our mind and our body. You know, God has given us this bowling ball thing that we have on our shoulders to care for, Did you know that it consumes 20 to 30% of the calories that our body utilizes? 20 to 30%, I thought that's amazing. I mean, I can lose weight just thinking really hard. I think. So we have to take care of what God has given us. And finally, we have to learn to laugh more. Now, there was a scientific study done not too long ago where they had collected samples of tears from two different study groups. One study group they collected was from like grief and anger tears. Now, don't ask me how they collected them. I don't know. I just found the research amazing. So they collected those, and then on the other group, they collected tears of joy and happiness. And then once they had enough tears, and I don't know how many tears it takes to do this, but once they had enough tears, they tried to make crystals out of the tear. They tried to grow crystals. And what they found is the tears of anger and grief created like a rock, a dark rock type structure. Ugly, kind of. And then the tears of joy created like these fingers of crystals with all kinds of different colors. They were a thing of beauty. And I think what they determined was, like, when we cry tears of anger and grief, we're actually releasing toxins out of our body. We're expelling them. And so, guys, if you don't cry, you might want to start thinking about standing over an onion and have that help you release some of the toxins. I don't know if it'll produce the same tears, but it's worth a try, right? But think about the joy in laughter and the tears that produce. Something beautiful, something life-giving. So we need to learn to laugh. And with that being said, I'll close with this last story. This fine gentleman, after being married many years, he went to go see his family physician. And as the doctor come in, who had been taking care of him for years, he came in and he says, how can I help you today? What's wrong? And the guy said, well, I'm not actually here for myself. I'm here for my wife. He goes, but your wife's not here. He says, well, just hear me out, doc. He's like, okay, tell me what's going on. He says, well, my wife is having all kinds of mood swings. She's like getting really irritable. She's getting angry. It's getting so bad that she's getting so angry she's walking out of the room. And he goes, He goes, what do you think? Do you have anything for that? I mean, I'll do anything. What can I do? Do I need to drag her in here? He goes, well, not just yet. Let's try something. He said, do you drink water? He goes, yeah. He says, I want you to carry with you a bottled water anytime you're around your wife. And he goes, okay. He says, every time you start to see her mood elevate you start to see her become angry, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the cap off and take a swig, but don't swallow. Put the cap on and start swishing the water around in your mouth until her mood starts to get better, and until her anger starts to alleviate. And then once that happens, you can swallow. Okay? You with me? And he said, yeah, I'll give it a shot. So they scheduled an appointment for 2 weeks for him to come back. And 2 weeks later, he comes bouncing in to the office. He says, man, it worked, doc. It's so amazing how that water has an effect like that. Just amazing. And he says, and the doc says, well, I got to be honest with you. There's nothing special about the water. And the guy looked at him pretty perplexed. He says, well, what is it? He says, the trick is keeping your mouth closed. It's okay to laugh at that. I'm trying to help you here. Renew your mind through laughter. Okay? It's not a true story. Maybe it did happen. I don't know. But it gives us something to just laugh about and love that we have to love God knowing that He has created us with a sense of humor. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Now, gracious and loving God, You have truly gifted us with an amazing body, an amazing mind, and amazing senses. And we give You thanks for that. We would pray that we would be able to take some of these strategies to help in the transforming of our minds by renewing our minds, renewing our bodies, and renewing our relationships with You and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.